It's time for Trackside Tonight with Randy Dye, Joe Linebarrier, and Billy Osberg. Trackside Tonight is brought to you by Daytona Dodge and Chrysler, DeLand Motorsports, Mopar Speed Shop, Volusia Speedway Park, and by Valvoline. To get in the action, call 239-0033, star 1150, or toll free at 1-800-927-0033. Now, here's Randy, Joe, and Billy.
Well, good evening, everybody. I'm Randy Dye.
I'm Joe Dizzard.
And I'm Billy the Kid.
Now, I mean Krispy Kreme when I say Dizzard.
We killed us a dozen already.
Man, it was real good. We're cranked up, though.
Here we go.
Ready to go.
As always, it's your program. The phone's ringing already, Mark. 239-0033, 800-927-0033. Our format is it's really pretty loose, but we always encourage your participation. And Gene didn't even wait for the intro to get over with.
Well, we had to kind of preempt Gene last Monday,
yeah, we
so we owe her a few minutes. Gene, how are you?
I'm quite nice, thank you.
Before we
had
went
plenty
on,
plenty of rest the last 2 days because of the wonderful boring races.
You sound like it. You sound like
she's fired up too.
Yeah, man.
Here we
tell.
Go. Yep.
We were just talking off the air before we went live here tonight, and I asked Randy. I said, "Did you see any of that?" I knew Billy didn't. He was out of town, and Randy just looked at me and said, "Man, it was boring." And I said, "This is one race that I really enjoy watching. Normally, you know, the shortest track on the on the circuit, and I made it." Conscious effort to watch as much as possible so I would have some valid input, but there's nothing to input.
Well, you know,
the track race wasn't any better at noon today either.
Well, I didn't get to see it. I know that Harvick won, but I you know, one of the things that I think you're finding out is the tracks where handling is a premium, it shows the just how much further they have to go with this car. You know the racing at Bristol used to be really good. The racing at Martinsville used to be really, really good.
Yeah.
And it's now really, really not.
Like I said, I didn't lose any sleep. I got quite well the last 2 days.
A couple of nice, well, exciting moments. I mean, you saw Kurt Busch. I mean, he moved. You know, accidentally was that who was that he pushed up the racetrack? Very unfortunate. Both of them spun.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Then, of course, I think the best move of the entire day was Jimmy Johnson moving Denny Hamlin.
Well,
around him, and then that's all there was to it.
That's a function of two things there. I mean, again, it's a function of a race car that can't get around that racetrack. The only way to really do much passing was to move somebody.
Right. And it's acceptable to a certain extent there.
Yeah, they did some moving in the truck race today, too.
Well, it's acceptable. I think it was acceptable in Jimmy Johnson's case because once he got past Denny Hamlin, he took off.
He sure did.
You know, it wasn't as if they fought over the position and then Denny Hamlin wasn't able to get back to him.
Yeah.
If Denny Hamlin would have been able to get back to him, I don't think the move that Johnson made would have been as acceptable.
Right.
But when Johnson drove off and left him, there's not a whole lot that Denny Hamlin can say because you have to make the argument that Denny Hamlin was holding him up. And,
all right, yeah.
And there was no other way to get around him.
Yeah.
Well.
I'm not saying that what Jimmy Johnson did was the
correct.
Best way. Well, I'm not going to say it's incorrect. I'm just going to say I would say it's probably not the preferred way.
Denny Hamlin felt it was very acceptable, but he did make it very clear that he'll have his chance.
Saw one coming.
Yeah, well, sure he does.
You know,
why not?
I think
he wasn't mad about it. He's like, hey, it's Martinsville. That's what happens here. But I'll have an opportunity.
I think the other thing that happened this week that along the same lines, lots of things happened, but along the same lines, you know, I think somebody finally, in this case it was Jimmy McMurray, stood up to Juan Pablo Montoya and said, you know what, enough of your crap's enough.
Well, these guys had motives. After Bristol, and I think Jamie went to try to talk to him, tried to talk to him. I'm sorry, reverse that, and Jamie wouldn't have anything to do.
Well, it's because how many times are you going to be able to say I'm sorry? I mean, Juan Pablo Montoya runs over everybody out there.
You can't talk to Juan Pablo.
You can't talk to me like that, right?
Juan Pablo.
Yeah, I mean, Juan Pablo just, you know, he is one of the most impatient, just irreverent drivers out there, I'm sorry, just doesn't go
listen,
that far.
The guy's got six or seven.
He can't say I'm sorry, he can't say I don't know what he's saying.
Lo siento.
I suppose Kyle Busch is very patient, too. Sure.
He's got six or seven Formula One wins. Okay, that's quite an accomplishment, no doubt about it. Several Champ Car wins, or Indy Car wins. the observations that were made yesterday from the TV guys, I just couldn't believe it. They would actually try to adapt his driving style to, well, you can just see just how similar to the Formula One car that he's driving.
Where's that at?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you see
who said that?
Darren Waltrip said
that. Do you see reversal here?
Darren Waltrip said that.
He watched the cup race and we didn't.
Yeah, well, no, man,
do you see reversal?
I did like Gene. I dozed, but...
There's something wrong here. He watched the cup race and we didn't.
My lovely wife allowed me to do it, and I got to say.
Certainly, there was no... There's no correlation.
You can't correlate the two. It's Martinsville.
They got bodies on them.
I don't know what he was seeing, but he was actually saying, you know, you take a look at the way he's driving the car. It's just like he used to drive that Formula One car. Look how he goes in the turn. He goes in light and comes out hot. He wasn't driving any different than anybody else.
Well, I mean, if you're talking about, you know, corner entry and exit.
That's what he was talking about in his defense, but I didn't see anything different than anybody else was doing.
You go in
like a lamb and out like a lion. I mean, that's what you do at Martinsville.
Well, you better.
That's right.
Because if you go in like a lion, you're going to go up the racetrack and they're going to drive underneath
you. Exactly right.
Yeah, I mean, that's that racetrack is strange. And that's
concrete corners are really interesting.
Well, I don't think the concrete's as big a deal as the fact that it's got a long straightaway. They're carrying a lot of speed getting in the corner. It's a flat turn for the most part. And then they got a race car that they still just can't. They have not got the handling package on that race car that they had on the old car.
Gene, did you see all that rubber building up in the turns on that concrete?
Oh, yeah.
You know what that's like?
I've never seen anything like that.
Well, you know what that'd be like? You go over that stuff, it'd be like going over ice.
Yeah.
You'd feel like you had a flat tire going over
it. It was raised up off the track several inches.
I'm still shocked you watch a race and they had fenders on them.
Well, because it's a nice little short track, and I like that.
No, I'm sorry, but racing is becoming very boring.
Randy, did you race this week?
We were off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But David Rogers raced at New Smyrna and won again.
Good deal.
Yep.
He's on the tear.
In the Bright House Challenge Series. Yeah, he kind of picked up where he left off. But anyway, we're talking NASCAR stuff here, Gene.
That's okay.
Oh, by the way,
The way I
did check on your ticket price, and basically they have a $10... I don't know if it was you that asked the question, but it's a...
What about the old hags?
It's $10.
Oh, that's not too bad, then.
Yeah, okay.
$10 off or a straight $10 bill?
$10 bill.
Oh, that ain't too bad. That's easy.
So anyway, your observations about the last two short track races. Disappointing?
Extremely so. Yeah. Very, very much so.
Yeah.
Boring.
You're looking for, at this point, I don't know about you guys, Joe and Billy, but I'd almost like to see some on-track shenanigans so we had, you know, that led to pit shenanigans.
You mean Ryan Hatton, Bodine shenanigans?
So we had something to talk about. You know, it's, I think we can find some good things to talk about. Kurt Busch is still in the top 10 in the points.
Kurt Busch is having an awesome year.
Casey Dean is still in the top 10 in points. And I think probably one of the biggest positive surprises of the year after six races, A.J. Allmendinger is 15th, and he's only 6 points out of 14th.
Here's a guy that didn't even have a full schedule, and a guy that didn't
still
even
doesn't.
Know, it still doesn't, so to speak, but I think they're going to be okay.
I hope so.
How about my boy Clint Bowyer?
Yeah, no
Clint Bowyer's second.
No doubt. Good solid
third going in
yesterday, absolutely. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not enjoying racing anymore. I
push the off button.
I can find something better than NASCAR, I'll tell you. It's boring, and it wouldn't be worth my time. I was considering going out there for the night race in July, but the more racing I see, I'll just stay home and take my nap.
Well, there is something special about night racing in July at Daytona. It is it's a spectacle, for sure.
I've been there. It used to be good, but I don't no longer trust them.
Trust them?
Trust NASCAR to do what it's supposed to do with the cars. If they want to have a ballet, put all the guys in tutus and to get over with.
Well, I know a couple of guys who wouldn't look good in them. That 88 would look good in a tutu.
You can't do that. All this crap. Well, hey, after the last two races, I'll take my naps.
Hey, let's talk about something. You're a big Earnhardt Jr. Let's start this.
Our debate.
No.
Okay.
I want to put this out here for Gene and for Billy and Joe.
I don't know how she did yesterday. You don't ask me.
Okay. I happen to believe that it's time for Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s crew chief to change. I think they need to make a change.
I am.
What do you base that on? Performance yesterday? I think he was top 10.
I think he was top 10.
I believe it was 7th.
The performance period, they're not winning. They make some bad decisions. And I think if, in order to give Junior a chance, they got to make a change.
He was in very good spirits before the race.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, you know, his mindset, he was excited about this event, and I think they salvaged what they could with that seventh place finish. But I don't know, you guys. I mean, okay, he's not won a lot, but, I mean, who else hasn't won a lot? I mean, come on. That's like saying, you know, Jeff Burton, you know, let's get rid of your crew chief. I mean, Jeff Burton's
performance. Well, give it to Jeff Gordon's crew chief. What's he won?
I'll tell you something. You know, there's more possibility there. I mean, he is leading the points, but... You know, here's the situation. Jeff Gordon was obviously the first part of that race to clash the field. The sun came out. They didn't make any adjustments.
True.
And they went backwards.
Yep.
You know, I realize that Jeff Gordon leading the points is a big deal, and it's a very big deal. And I'm sure that they will continue to do everything they can to lead the points. But at this stage of the game, I think it's probably every bit as big a deal that he wins a race. And I'm surprised. I would have thought yesterday was the one. I'm really surprised that they didn't adjust to the track and make the decisions that they needed to make to keep him up front.
Yeah.
I was very surprised by that.
Winningest driver at Martinsville of active drivers, he's the winningest one. And of course, Jimmy Johnson gave Rick Hendrick his 176th win yesterday. That is a boatload of wins, you guys.
And particularly, he hasn't been around all that long.
That's exactly right. I mean, we're talking late 80s.
Yeah.
For all
25 years he's been in there this year.
There you go, 84.
That's still, given that number of wins, that's a pretty impressive record.
There is, man.
Yeah.
I mean,
as far as changing crew chiefs, if you've read Junior's book, which I did, it's typical for these guys to go in this type of deal where they just can't get it right, but they always come out. And I don't think you want to change something like that, because who else could work with Earnhardt?
Lots of
people. Who else knows how he drives?
Lots of people,
all the instincts. I mean, you're going back too many years with Urius.
I think part of it is that when the Urie-Earnhardt relationship is too close, and I think... Therefore, there's a certain amount of... I'm not saying that Tony Jr. doesn't respect Dale and that Dale doesn't respect Tony Jr., but I am going to tell you that I think if there was somebody else that was a bit more objective that didn't have the relationship, I think things could be different, and I think it could be different for the better.
Okay. Who do you think should be there? Then I'll put that question to you.
Well, I mean, there's a number of guys you could go after.
I want a name.
Well, most of the guys that I would name are out there. They're currently
working
crew chief for somebody else. But I would tell you that there are a number of people that I think are qualified to be Dale Jr.'s crew chief.
Don't call me this week, Rick Hendrick. I'm busy.
I don't know.
I mean, you could. I'm not sure that you would want to change Mark Martin and Dale Jr.'s crew chief around, but you know, there's a lot of options there.
If you want to make Dale Jr. a winner, you need to put Chad Knaus with him for about a week and a half, 2 weeks, and I think that'll help things. I think Chad Knaus is on top of his game the same way I think Zippy was when Tony Stewart was winning championships.
Yeah.
I think Zippy's a real good crew chief, but I think right now Zippy and Joey Logano are never going to make it.
I would say never going to make it.
There's a lot there, too. He's dealing with a baby in age.
Well, I think whole thing... But, you
it's
know,
a whole different thing.
I think what you've got with Logano... It is proof positive to me how difficult these race cars are to drive.
Yeah.
Here's a kid that's won everything he sat in.
Yep.
He absolutely dominated in the races that he won. And I say this, he didn't win every race. He didn't lead every lap when he ran the Nationwide Series.
But he finished well.
But he was always in contention.
Yes,
okay.
He was.
So
it speaks to how difficult these race cars are to drive. That's what I think. I mean, it's not a Zippadelli issue, although I'm sure his patients have got to be going,
I'm sure he's missing Tony Stewart, too.
Of course. And how about Tony Stewart, man? Who thought he would run
as consistent? Stewart Haas Motorsport.
Indeed. Who thought they would run this well? I didn't. I'm going to tell you that right now. I was a naysayer. A guy that, you know, I sat here and said, look, this guy's got to make these races. He's a go or go home driver. It means he's making them. He's leading them. He's running up front. And he's doing well.
I think that Tony's... was his, he'd have to be ecstatic about the success of the 14 car in the first six races. Now, there's no doubt. I mean, I for one, I even said it in our program. I said, I think Tony's in for a whole lot more work than he thinks he is, and I don't look to him to be successful right out of the box. He's very successful. I think they have to be. Ryan Newman, on the other hand,
if it hadn't rained today, Tony, he was going to win the problem.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Newman's not even showing up. I mean,
he had a good race yesterday.
And he was fifth last week.
Yeah,
Bristol.
For the most part, not as out there doing
well,
as well as Tony.
He struggled a little bit, but he's starting to come around. I know last week when I was at Bristol, I was listening to Tony Stewart on the scanners, and he was worried about Newman. He kept saying,
was he really?
Yeah, he kept saying, get that guy out of the 39's way.
Wow.
You know, because Newman was on the lead lap, he was trying to get him up there a little further.
That's the car owner, isn't it?
Right. You know,
that's a team that's not fully funded. You know that?
Is that right?
Yeah, they don't have funding for the balance of the year. They've still got some unsold races.
Wow. So you think they'll reach in their pocket? Would Tony do something like that?
Somebody
will have to. If somebody didn't, which we know they will.
Somebody put the money up.
But Tony, does he reach in?
He's got way too much. He's got way too much backing. I mean,
that's true.
If Office Depot or Old Spice isn't a part of it, or Army, you know, you're going to see Armorall on one of them cars.
Of course.
All that deal between him and Shot.
You're right. You're right.
How could you not? It's national exposure.
Even though your
sprint car is killing them in the World of Outlaws, and you got all kind of exposure. But remember last year, Tony drove an Armorall Busch car for him.
That's right.
Yeah, I would be surprised, but they have not got it secured yet.
I got a question for you, Randy. Maybe one of the other boys they can answer. I saw on TV this weekend somewhere at the Chili Bowl.
Chili Bowl.
Yep.
Out of what? Tulsa, wasn't it?
Tulsa, Oklahoma. Yep.
And I love the winner. Was that this past year?
Yes, that was the most recent. Absolutely, and that took place about 2 months ago.
And I like this guy. What was he? 51 years old.
Sammy Swindell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sammy Swindell. I watched him. I said, "Hey, there you go, old timer."
That guy's name is synonymous. I mean, he's a veteran in sprint car racing.
He's just as synonymous as Steve Kinza.
He won every race at the Chili Bowl that he set in the car. Did you know that?
And I'll tell you what, if you watched that final A-Main, it was a work of art.
Did you see the McCready wreck?
I did
that
see
was
the
bad,
McCready.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was bad.
Wow.
Yeah.
We've had Timmy right here on this show and, of course, Dirt World. But you know what? One thing I learned, and I don't know a lot about, I know enough about race cars. I could have told you, these are midgets. You know, this is a non-winged midget.
Yeah.
I didn't know it had a four-cylinder. I had no idea. That's an alcohol-burning four-cylinder.
Yeah.
I had no clue. They did a little thing. They broke a car apart, and the guy was showing everything about the car. I had no idea they were four-cylinders.
That's why they called the one series, they called it the Ford Focus series.
Yeah. Maybe was this another division that I saw them breaking this thing down? Mm-hmm. Or is it all the Chili Bowl cars?
I think it might have been a different division.
It must be, because those are V8s, and those are sprint or midgets. But this, they actually showed a division that was a four-cylinder. It looked just like it.
You talked to a lot of the guys that have driven sprint cars that have the wings versus the non-wings, and they will tell you, and a guy like Sammy Swindell is a veteran of both. You know, they drive differently, and it takes a more of a...
it's like his fifth Chili Bowl win.
It's more of a driver's environment without the wing. You have to... The driver plays a bigger role. The wing really helps forgive some things that go on the racetrack.
Helps turn the car.
It absolutely helps
also
turn the car.
Cushions the flip.
Oh, yeah, it does. That's a fact. You know, landing
but
on that wing.
I had to ask because I have seen Swindell and Kinzer and.
Did you see?
Sammy won one in February Evolution, didn't he?
No.
We interviewed him.
We had.
He was one of the top. He was a pill draw car.
Yeah.
Okay.
The when you were watching it, Gene, did they happen to show the Tim McCready wreck?
I don't believe it was already on when I tuned in.
No, they did, Gene, because that was a replay. I had watched it earlier myself.
Maybe it showed it at the beginning or something.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I I've watched racing too many years in my life, different types of different forms of racing. But I like the sprint cars. I love to watch Steve Kinza. Daniel Lazarski is a good driver, and so wasn't Sammy Swindell, and I was just happy to see Sammy Swindell take it over and decide my race.
Yeah, Sammy's out in California now, but he is, in fact, going to run most of the World of Outlaws sprint car races for this season. But
now, wasn't this
car owner's out of
Chili
California.
Bowl in a row?
No, not in a row.
Not in a row. He's won
fifth.
Five total.
It's his fifth win.
Okay, five total, okay.
Yeah. We've actually had, this is the first year we didn't have the Chili Bowl winner on this Monday night program. We've had the last two Chili Bowl winners. We had Damian Gardner on.
Yeah.
We also had Tim McCready on the year he won it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've had the Chili Bowl winner on it. This year we just couldn't get a hold of Swindell. He had another commitment.
I imagine he's pretty well committed. He's a one cool customer when it comes to a race car.
And, of course, he's bringing his son up now, through the ranks. His son is driving a sprint car, and Sammy's amazing. You know, you may see Sammy at the racetrack with a frown on his face, but he's committed to what he's doing. He's working hard and not one to mince words ever, but he does his talk about
it. He's just all business.
He really is, man.
That's all. I mean, I don't think he's got a negative attitude at all. No. He's just all business. Very, very, very professional.
Well, I thank you for the time, guys. I'm going to let you go on and yak about something else, but I just had to let you guys know I was in good. I'm very much awake today and the whole nine yards, thanks to the last 2 days of racing.
You caught up in your sleep.
All right, Gene.
Thanks, Gene.
Thank you.
Okay, talk to you later, guys.
All right, bye-bye.
Got to agree with her, so to speak, a little bit. I dozed off a couple times.
Well, it's disappointing.
Then Lisa crank up the vacuum cleaner.
You know, it's disappointing because usually you can depend on, no matter what's going on in the, you know, the other racetracks, you can pretty much depend on there being some good racing at Bristol and Martinsville. You look forward to those races.
Those are two, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the Bristol race is boring, though.
Well, I recognize that. That's my point. I mean, I think that it's evidence to me of the lack of confidence that the drivers have in the race car. And I think you're not, I don't believe that you're going to see a great change in any of that anytime soon. You know, there's an awful lot of talk still about a wider tire that's going to come, and that should help give the cars a better feel on the racetrack. If that happens, then maybe we'll see some better racing. But I think finally they at least seem to have turned the corner with blaming Goodyear for the problems. You know, this is not, in my opinion, it hasn't been, never was, a function of Goodyear. I think it's a function of a race car that is so totally different that it changes. These guys have gotten so aggressive in how they try to set the car up to try to get it to turn that it's just putting an insurmountable amount of pressure on tires that nobody would be able to live up to. So I think they have to go back to the drawing board a little bit and come up with a package that will make the car work better to make it more competitive.
You know, one thing I want to say that I'm sure that you guys already knew, and he's actually going to be on the other show tonight, was Rick Bristol is the new promoter at Orlando City.
I read that, man. I noticed that. Did you know that, Randy?
I didn't know that, but you know what? That's a good choice.
Yes, I agree with you.
You know, Rick Bristol has been around the sport a long time. I certainly competed with him when he was a flagman. I competed with him when he was in the infield.
Remember when he was driving the mini stock?
Yeah.
I remember when he drove the mini stock. I had more than one difference of opinion with him when he was a flagman.
Flagged at Volusia, raced at Volusia, announced at Volusia.
Yeah.
He's been all over.
And as a result, and you know, the other thing he's done, and clearly, this charity event that he does in the late
Charity Trucker 200.
Right.
Yeah.
He's been very successful with it, so he knows how to promote. He knows how to get some people behind him. He's one of the kindest people in the sport you're ever going to meet. He, you know, he's a gentleman. He speaks, he says please and thank you and recognizes people. I don't think could have made a better choice. I really think it's a good decision.
The question is Rick all in for it? Obviously he is. I mean, like we just talked about, he's been around local racing here in Central Florida in just about every capacity. And now at the promoter's level,
I think he'll do a great job.
I agree with you, but I mean, obviously, you know, he's a busy man. You know, I happen to, you know, work with him professionally day to day, and he's a busy guy, and I certainly hope that he can, in fact, you know, rise up. I mean, it takes a lot of time. We all realize that. Obviously, he's up for the challenge. I think it's wonderful.
Well, one thing for sure, that it takes a guy with passion to be able to do this. You have to have a passion for the sport. Rick does. And I think his wealth of experience in all the different levels, all the different positions that he's held relative to the sport will be advantageous to this new venture. He's not been a full-time promoter before. He's been a part-time promoter. He spent a lot of time on his effort, you know. But I think he'll do well with that. Hey, guys, let's take a quick break. 239-0033, 800-927-0033.
And right on the other side, so you won't go anywhere, exciting results from the Formula One World Champion. at Australia.
Wow, that's going to do it. Yeah,
now
okay.
You're back to normal.
Yep, we'll see you in just
right
a few
back.
Minutes.
When you need embroidery or screen printing done for your business, group, or organization, the place to call in the Volusia County area is Mid-Florida Sportswear. They've been in business for over 30 years in our community. They deliver quality work at competitive prices. Mid-Florida Sportswear is the official screen printer of this radio station and Black Row Media, as well as the Oyster Pub, the Ocean Deck, DJ's Deck, Racing's North Turn, Hog Heaven Barbecue, and more. Mid-Florida Sportswear is offering a great spring special right now. Mention this ad, and with a 72-shirt order, receive free artwork. Call for information. 258-5632. 258-5632. Mid-Florida Sportswear. Call them at 258-5632 or online at midfloridasportswear.com. You can also visit Mid-Florida Sportswear at 2415 Bellevue Avenue. Mid-Florida Sportswear, 258-5632. 258-5632.
They are the future of the LPGA Tour and the best young professional golfers in the world. The DuraMed Futures Tour is coming and bringing a thrilling week of tournament golf. Feel the drama. Share the excitement. Watch as the next generation of LPGA stars battle for top prize money at the Impact Invitational, coming April 3rd through 5th to LPGA International Golf Club in Daytona. Tickets on sale now. Kids always get in free. Visit ImpactEnterprisesInvitational.com for tickets and directions.
I'm Norm Miller, chairman of Interstate Batteries, and one of our batteries might be under your hood right now. We've quietly become the number one replacement brand in America, and honestly, we like it that way. With one of ours, you'll hear this instead of this.
This message is brought to you by the experts at Interstate Batteries in Daytona. They carry batteries for any job. Big cars, small cars, remote control cars, even CD players and cell phones. They're located at 806 Mason Avenue in Daytona Beach. Give them a call today at 386-252-5909.
The doctor is in each Thursday morning at 9. Join Dave Lang along with the Volusia County Medical Society for the Ask the Doctor program. We'll take your phone call and let you talk with a different doctor with a different specialty each week. What's new in medicine? Do you need surgery? And what about a second opinion? Tune in for the Ask the Doctor program Thursday morning at 9 on News Talk 1150 WNTV.
Affordable elegance, exceptional ambience. Think of us at the Sunset Harbor Yacht Club and Conference Center for your next business or family gathering. Our conference rooms and terraces offer stunning panoramic views of the intercoastal waterway. Our experts will tailor an exceptional function to fit your budget. Affordable usually means rubber chicken when it comes to banquet food, but not at Sunset Harbor. Our chefs have the reputation of making a banquet a gourmet affair. Every detail will be attended to by our experienced staff. In hard times, family, friends, and colleagues become more precious. Let us help you make these celebrations with these people memorable. Come to Sunset Harbor Yacht Club for your next event, whether it be a fundraiser, client presentation, or any corporate event. Elegance comes with a price, but there is one place in Daytona Beach where elegance is affordable. Sunset Harbor Yacht Club and Conference Center at the base of the Seabreeze Bridge near downtown Daytona. Affordable elegance and exceptional ambience.
House or condo?
House.
Three bedrooms or four?
Three.
On the golf course or next to the lake?
Both. Choosing the perfect house involves some tough choices. Where to find it? That choice is easy. Homesandland.com. There are thousands of listings from the area's top realtors. Search by bedrooms, by price, and choose just the features you want. And in Homes and Land magazine, you'll find full-color photos and detailed property descriptions. For a free copy, call 1-800-277-7800 or visit homesandland.com.
For over a decade now, the folks at Spikes Athletic Footwear have been committed to the idea that personalized service still matters. Hi, I'm Greg Isley, owner-operator of Spikes Athletic Footwear, and I'm pleased to announce that thanks to our thousands of loyal customers, that pledge to handle our customers' needs on a one-at-a-time basis has been a success. Equipped with name brands like Asics, Brooks, New Balance, Mizuno, Saucony, just to name a few, our expert sales techs can match our clients' specific needs to the perfect shoe. If you're experiencing pain in the heel, arch, forefoot, or have special width needs, we can help. Our know-how and expansive inventory may well improve your quality of life. Come find out why area health professionals insist their patients and loved ones visit Spikes Athletic Footwear. That's Spikes Athletic Footwear, 1237 Ridgewood Avenue, Holly Hill, or call us at 677-2494.
Call Trackside tonight at 239-0033, star 1150, or toll free at 1-800-927-0033. And now back to Trackside tonight with Randy, Joe, and Billy.
Welcome back to Trackside tonight.
I'm Joe Dirt.
I'm Billy the Kid, and you are
Randy Dye.
Welcome back, Randy.
We're over here talking cars.
We are, man. Off the air. All my wife's been saying for months, I hate my car. It was a nice, it's a Dodge. I mean, it's a beautiful car. That's all she's been saying. I hate this car. And now she did this. Let me set this up. I told you that to tell you this. 20 years ago, I bought her an Oldsmobile Omega.
Oh, nice.
I loved this car. Four-door, wow. You know, beautiful car. She hated that car. Just hated it. I loved it. She wrecked it on I-4, and she wrecked it on purpose because she hated it. So I got to get her a new car before she wrecks this one.
Yeah, my goodness.
If you wreck it, do a number on it.
Billy's talking about trading in his SRT, and I'll tell you the address where that truck is. It's already been attempted to be stolen once.
Twice. They tried to steal it from me twice. They tried to steal it the first month, and then they tried to steal it like twice since then.
So I think that all of us here will be going to Daytona Dodge Chrysler at the Daytona
truck there tonight.
Auto Mall. But Randy, you know, talking about cars, news today, certainly the auto industry has been on everybody's mind for the last several months, and of course with the help that they've received, so to speak, the loans, and now of course, you know, $21 billion was asked for the most part, for GM and Chrysler. Barack Obama today in a news conference that you got to see live, you know, in so many words, it was a big fat no, unless they make huge changes. And these huge changes, of course, are going to take, you know, a long, long time to do. So, you know, the state of the auto industry right now is, it sounds like it's worse than ever.
Well, I think what you have is the economy is in a situation that's more difficult than it's been in a very, very long time. Obviously, lending institutions are in that situation. So everything that's everything that's affected, the housing industry is in that situation. I mean, who would have believed you'd be in the housing situation that we're in right now? You know, 3 years ago, if you'd have said to people, to most people, would you have been able to predict this? Nobody would have predicted this.
But that's actually on the upswing. I mean, that's risen 4% over the last, you know, month. That's getting a little bit better. But
let me tell you that so is the auto industry. You know, I think it all depends on what your perspective, what you believe Barack Obama, the president, said today. But I happen to believe the president actually said very, very positive things about the automobile industry, how important it is to the country, how it cannot fail. They have to make sure that these companies have that they will succeed, that they are going to have some fairly close scrutiny by the government, you know, in exchange for these loans that the government's going to make both General Motors and Chrysler. That's unlike the other people who have received, government funds or taxpayer funds. They've just been given the funds without the oversight, and then there's this huge reaction to that after the fact. The automobile industry is being viewed differently. They're being responsible in the way that they are talking to the auto industry. What's your plan? How is it going to be better? If you're going to continue to do the same old things, then we don't really know that you're a good risk for the loan. It's kind of the way a bank would approach this.
I know you don't want to point fingers, Randy, but GM seemed to be the recipient of the harshest by actually, I think it's the first time ever this has set precedent that the government, so to speak, the White House, actually asked for the resignation of Rick Wagner, GM, on Friday. He stepped down, but he's going to bleed another $21 million for his own pension. So, you know, where does this end? Now, putting the new person in place, I think that's good. That's good. They've got some good, you know, good thoughts and good business plan on what they plan on doing. But the bankruptcy, it sounds like it's most likely for GM right now.
Well, I think that bankruptcy is a possibility, but it's not a probability. I would say if, you know, first off, let me say, we all talk about I'm a Dodge Chrysler dealer, but I don't, that's all good, and I'm a positive believer in our product. I'm a positive believer in our management team. And I believe in the direction the company's going. Okay, that being said, I don't want to see General Motors fail.
No.
I don't want to see Ford fail. And I'll leave it at that for the moment. But I think that I think, General, with Rick Wagner's resignation, you know, sometimes the guy at the top of the company has to fall on his sword and for the betterment of the organization. Rick Wagner's a bright guy, and he's done a lot of good stuff for General Motors. And now, admittedly, he's been the CEO for 8 years. In the last 4 years, they've not been profitable. They've been undergoing some significant changes in that company. I think in a couple of years, at the end of this, at the other side of this, you'll see General Motors come back and come back in a positive way. There's no doubt that the stuff that's going on at Chrysler, the restructuring plan was well underway before the economy did what it did. The Chrysler was becoming a leaner, smaller, right-sized organization. And the basically the thing that, Barack Obama said today to Chrysler was, go get this merger done with Fiat. He complimented the Fiat CEO, talked about what a great job he'd done in the turnaround, agreed to give Chrysler, if necessary — it's important to make that distinction because right now it's not necessary — the working capital to get through the next 30 days if they need it. And then if they put the merger with Fiat together, they'll get the $6 billion in loans that they're talking about. He endorsed Bob Nardelli as the chairman of the company and the job that he's doing. So there's an awful lot of positive things there. He also said, I think if you were a GM customer or a GM dealer, or even a stockholder, that you can take a great deal of confidence in the fact that he's going to do what it takes to keep GM around. Now, that being said, is it the GM exactly the way we know it today? I don't think so. I think that, you know, General Motors has eight brands. I'm not talking about eight models. I'm talking about eight different brands. And the amount of resources that it takes to support eight brands is just, it's phenomenal. And so I think that you may see, not guaranteed, but you may see some reduction in brands under the General Motors banner. But I think you could have a great deal of confidence and belief that General Motors are going to be around. I believe they are.
And I think, you know, consumers can take confidence, and they'll agree with one of the most standout statement that he said today, Barack Obama, was the big three auto manufacturers in the United States have to stand alone. You have to stand on your own feet and not be wards of the state. And that, I think, everybody will agree with.
Well, I think that's true. But, the thing that nobody, and this is a great thing that happens in Washington, nobody, while in fact the automobile manufacturers have to stand alone and they need to be able to step up and not be quote-unquote wards of the state, There seems to be this amnesia that takes place in Washington, and that is, what caused the situation? Okay, why did this situation occur? It's not, they all want to say, everybody in Washington wants to blame it all squarely on the Rick Wagners and the management of Chrysler. And
they know that's not fair. Okay. They know.
And, you know, what happened is that the economy imploded based on the mortgage business and the credit tightening, and that's really the combination of high gas prices. You know, you talk about people not wanting, they say, well, you know, the Detroit 3 are not building cars that the consumer wants to buy. Well, let me clarify this for you. General Motors, and I remember, I'm a Chrysler dealer.
Yes.
Okay, so this statement has credibility. Okay, General Motors outsold Toyota in this country. Now, if General Motors is not making cars that people want to buy, how did that situation occur?
Exactly.
Okay, what the problem is that they have to be able to do it efficiently. They've got to be able to do it where they can make a profit doing so. But to say that General Motors or Chrysler or Ford are not building cars that this country wants to buy is absolutely absurd. Go look at some of these hybrid cars that were built. I'm not against green technology. I'm not against high fuel efficient vehicles. But people paid a premium for them a few months ago.
Yeah.
Okay, over and above the manufacturer suggested retail
Indeed,
price.
Indeed, because the dealer could get it.
Okay, and today?
They're sitting on the lot, stacked up.
They can't sell them new.
Can't sell them.
and if you go to try to trade one in, there's about a $10,000 to $12,000 difference and swing in the price you paid and what it's worth today.
Yeah.
So what causes that? What causes that is the demand. Okay, and so I'm gonna say to you that there's enough blame here to go around a long way, and it's not just the General Motors management's fault, Ford Motor Company's management fault, or Chrysler's management fault. They're culpable. Believe me, they made some decisions that probably hastened this position, but certainly I believe it would have come.
The changes that he continues to talk about that must be met and must be made for this green technology and more fuel efficiency. Are the big three on the verge of major, major retooling and restructuring?
Oh, huge.
Is the American automobile gone as we know it as of pretty much right now?
No, I think what you're going to see, I don't believe the American automobile is gone by any stretch of the imagination, but what I think you're going to see is a complete, you know, a segment of all of our General Motors, Ford, Chrysler, all of those cars, car companies to have products that will be more green, you know, more fuel efficient, alternative energy sources, not just better gas mileage, because you know the future is not just petroleum. The future is to reduce our dependency on petroleum. You do that by increasing the fuel efficiency, but you also increase that by having alternative sources of energy, and those things are coming. And the key is, like anything else, is to get that technology affordable so that the consumer can make a decision. Yeah, I think that'll work for me. Is that, you know, that price, I realize it's maybe a little up versus the conventional vehicle, but I think I can make that work for me. We've got, the challenge is to get the industry where there's enough of that technology out there that makes it affordable, and it doesn't cost, it's not a premium to get that technology.
Of course, like the alternative or the hybrid vehicles were just a few
months
ago.
Yeah, you don't want to have to, and in our industry, I mean, I'm one of the guys that says, look, the price of the car is the price of the car. We don't want to charge you over for it. We shouldn't be taking advantage of that. We should be actually, the attitude should be completely the opposite, encouraging it, you know, making sure you get it. We want you to get it.
Of course.
You know, instead of, you know, making it an elite kind of person.
Taxpayers are happy, though, with another statement, the fact that the tax credits will be given to people that trade in their so-called gas-guzzling vehicles, like Billy's SRT 10-cylinder. you know, but really, tax credits will be given for trading in the larger vehicles for perhaps something a little more economical.
Well, there's a lot of discussion out there about actually kind of encompassing that in the group of an age of a car.
Right, right.
You know, but, you know, you said something to me earlier, and I want to comment. I'm going to use a Richard Petty quote, okay? You said, is the American car gone as we know it today? And the answer is no. And the reason that I say that to you is, you know, Richard Petty said racing started the day they built the second car.
Yeah, no doubt.
Okay, and that's a fact.
That sure
is. I mean, you know, we are in love with horsepower and torque and speed and all that. Now, do we need to have 70% of the fleet of vehicles that we sell, you know, fit that model? No. Okay. Can it be reduced to 20%? I think that certainly we can. There's always going to be a need for a truck. Okay. Always. So I believe that you'll see a evolution. In a relatively quick evolution of new technology, affordable technology that will both be more fuel efficient and more diversity of engines of fuel sources.
I thought what he said was, I couldn't get the car started. That's how Pearson beat me back to the line.
Well, that happened too. That definitely happened too. I was there, as a matter of fact, and. The Petty crew come out to try to push him across the start-finish line. So that was a long time ago.
Huh. Yeah. Okay. Well,
anyway, I don't know if that answers all your questions, Joe. But
well, you know, no, that's good. Very, very good information. However, it's funny. I mean, our president, if people realize, where was he at the G8 summit this week?
He's been all over.
Okay.
It's hard to keep up with.
You know what it takes logistically to haul this guy around. You're talking 4 Marine One helicopters, you know, Air Force One, you know, a fleet of limousines, You know, it's unbelievable the way he travels. But, and again, he's our president, and certainly he should be protected. But you want to talk about, you know, everybody kind of scaling back a little bit, and let's all try to conserve. Let's turn that extra light bulb off and, you know, maybe not, you know, use that fan as much or what have you. It just doesn't seem to transfer to Washington.
Well, let me, hold on. Okay, let me say this. I didn't vote for our current president, but the fact is he is the president of the United States of America and arguably, by some, the leader of the free world. And I got to tell you that whatever measures are necessary to keep him safe and whatever measures are necessary to keep him comfortable and whatever measures are necessary to give him the best opportunity to do the best job that he can, if there's any place to be extravagant, I think it would be in as it surrounds the President of the United States. Now, that doesn't all... Now,
I'm not saying compromise safety.
I understand that.
Just an observation.
Even the luxuries, okay? I got to tell you, I mean, whatever those things come, and we none of us know it all for sure.
Oh, no.
I don't take anything away from it. Now, I will tell you, I don't believe all of those same things extend to every member of Congress. Okay, I don't think that every guy in the United States Senate deserves the same thing, nor does every United States congressman. They deserve our respect. They deserve our support, so long as they're out there doing their job. But it is a little disheartening when you know that every member of the United States Senate got about a $5,000 annual raise this year, and a lot of people out there are suffering. So that is a little disingenuous when they're out there calling for people to return bonuses, and yet they've not given back any of their increase. So how in the world we've turned into the Mark Bernier show, I don't know. But you started this mess. Come on, Joe.
We could give him a run for the ratings, couldn't we?
You're supposed to be talking about F1 results.
And I want to.
Okay.
Longtime veteran Jenson Button, England's very own son, picked up the win at the season opener for the Formula One World Championship in Australia, the Australian Grand Prix. He led this thing, every single lap. I mean, he was uncontested. So congratulations to Jenson Button. It was just a wonderful... Jenson Button, absolutely. He's from England.
Yes, Jenson Button.
And, of course, now his new teammate, the Brazilian, Rubens Barrichello, ex-Ferrari driver, Rubens, he is from Brazil. He finished in the second spot. This is the new team they just formed.
Wait a minute. What is that learn a new language?
Rosetta Stone.
Do you spend time learning
to pronounce it? I've often thought about that, absolutely. I could go on. I love the names, man.
Go ahead.
But, you know, it was a great race. But now the world championship, the defender champion, Lewis Hamilton, he crossed the line fourth.
I know who that is.
Yeah, Lewis Hamilton, also from England in the McLaren Mercedes, but promoted to third after the event by the pit stewards who penalized Yarno Trulli in the Toyota. So Yarno for overtaking under the safety car conditions. So Yarno Trulli actually got the consultation, and it gives Lewis Hamilton third.
Truly.
But again, now their next stop is Malaysia for the Malaysian Grand Prix. That's round two for the Formula One World Championship.
Do they have asphalt in Malaysia?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, you're scaring me.
Watch
here.
Watch one of these races, you
the
guys.
The first half, you're talking NASCAR. Now the second half, you're talking Formula One. You've been studying. This ain't fair.
I know, man. You're out of town at Golden Isle for the United Dirt Lake Models. I mean, you're at Ocala Friday night. I studied this weekend.
I did four days and never saw a race.
Yeah. Yeah. So, hey, let's talk about that, Ocala, Friday night.
Rained out 3:30.
Yeah, man, a threat of weather, but I don't know that it ever did, in fact, rain enough to take track with.
They said today that it rained. I don't know how much it rained. I can't get involved in that.
Hey, listen, I know Mike didn't want to do that. Nobody wants to rain out, but he had a good point. He said, look, I'm not selling tickets for people to sit here and then try to, you know, run heat races and not give them their money back and call it a complete show. It's a tough call for him.
He's got a great point. I think the deal is when the weather gets the way it is, they're afraid that the fans aren't going to show up and they're going to have 200 or 300 sitting in the stands.
This guy's got the best fan base in the
second best
Florida.
Fan base in the state of Florida.
Okay, second only to Citrus.
The Heat behind East Bay.
East Bay?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Citrus got to be coming in third.
You know, that's one of the differences between an asphalt
it's
and a dirt
different
track.
If you're driving an hour to get there.
Yeah, right.
You can lose a dirt track early in the day. And it's done for the night.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
An asphalt track, you can make that decision late in the day because it doesn't take that much to get it back in shape. And so there's a little difference there. You know, I know there's some other changes that have taken place out of New Smyrna Speedway. You were talking about the Rick Bristol over in Orlando. But you know that New Smyrna has gone back to double file restarts.
Heard about that?
Yeah, and I, you know, debate this a little bit. I know you guys do that.
We sure do. It works out great.
Okay,
up to the halfway point.
Okay, but it also is a little different animal at a dirt track. You've got a wider racetrack. You know, there's a whole different dynamic there. You've got a lot more room. I got to tell you, I think that in the day of challenging car counts, particularly at asphalt tracks, maybe not so much at a dirt track, the idea that double file restarts is going to add people in the stands, in my opinion, is the law of diminishing returns at its best, because you're much more likely to have an accident with a double file restart than you are a single file restart. And ultimately, at an asphalt track, a wreck is all you dirt track people, just give me a break here for a minute, okay? It's usually a more expensive event. An asphalt wreck is usually a more expensive
event. Less forgiving, for sure.
Okay, than a dirt track event. If you took them across the board.
Yeah, I agree
okay,
with that.
There's an exception to everything out there. I think that the car counts are going to be challenged more by double file restarts than the single file restart. And if the car counts go down instead of up, I mean, you're talking about, well, the whole premise here is that it's going to create more exciting racing and therefore put more people in the stands. I think this, you got to go back to the point. The hardcore race fans coming anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's coming no matter whether you're single file, double file, triple file.
The double file is not the deciding factor in fan base.
Right, exactly. That's not the reason to do it. So I think it is. I think it's a detrimental a policy to the car counts, and as a result, it could impact your hardcore fundamental race fan negatively, because if you don't see any cars to race, you don't go.
Listen to me, guys.
All right, here we go.
Nobody likes NASCAR.
Let me ask you why nobody doesn't like NASCAR. That was my question.
Everybody complains about NASCAR, but NASCAR's lowered their prices, and they're selling out races.
Why don't the lap cars go to the bottom of short tracks on a restart? Why doesn't anybody do it?
Chances of getting their lap back, and there's no lucky dog, is slim to none.
Well, how can you say that? The chances of getting their lap back on a short track are better.
What do you mean they don't
better.
Go? They were. What do you mean?
Talking about short track.
What do you say?
I'm talking about. Okay, I'm in New Smyrna.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's a restart.
Yeah.
Okay. You got half the field's lapped, half the field's not. You're going to do double file. Will the lap cars start on the bottom? No, but NASCAR they will.
Yeah.
Why is that? Why?
Well, in New Smyrna, if you run a long enough race, you know, a fast car event. And the yellow comes out, and you're a lap down, your position, you maintain your position on the racetrack. So that means that if I'm running fourth on the lead lap, and there might be three cars that are a lap down between me and the third place car, I think that's effectively a similar situation.
But why don't the lap car start on the bottom? Why isn't there two distinct lines? You're talking about a double file restart here. You're talking about file restart. Why don't the lap cars line up on the bottom?
You got the best drivers in the world. Your short tracks, you don't.
Let me tell you what.
You get the wrong lap car on the bottom because they go down turn one and you got the top four guys in the fence with that lap car.
That's right.
Now, to be honest with you, you know, sometimes in the dirt track, when the first car is one lap down, sometimes they'll put him on the tail end of the lead lap
to
keep that from being a controversy. If it's a good car, if it's a bad car, it don't really matter. But I think at the New Smyrna Speedway, I think it's tougher because, like I said, you'll have so-and-so. I think it's probably an option there, but a lot of guys don't take it. You know,
you can move to the back, if you wanted to.
I'm saying you can move to the bottom of the leader, too, to try to get your lap back. I'm sure that's pretty an option there, but none of the guys do it. Now, don't get me wrong, if something happened to Wayne Anderson, he lost a lap, but you can't lose a lap in the pits there anyway.
Right, that's true.
You have to lose a lap on the racetrack.
If you lose a lap on the racetrack and you pull up there when the caution comes out and say, hey, I want to try to get my lap back, I'm sure they're not going to argue with you. They're going to let Wayne start down there below you, and I promise you, when they get to turn one, the leader's going to let him go. But, you know, I just think that the caliper of drivers, you know, and I agree. You have different types of scenarios. You have the best drivers, what you feel in your area. You have the best drivers. But still, to me, sometimes on Saturday nights, Friday nights, whatever it may be, these guys put their helmets on, and they still get out of control.
Of course.
You don't see that on Sunday. I'm sorry. You can't.
Not generally.
Yeah.
You know, and what happens is – you know, if you're at the local, either Orlando or New Smyrna, you know, more ordinarily you have lost a lap on the racetrack. You've lost a lap on the racetrack either because, you know, you missed the setup, you're that far out to lunch, you got a problem with your race car. So lining up on the inside of the leader to go down into turn one is there's no value in that whatsoever.
Gotcha.
I mean, you got there because of, you know, the way you're racing.
Yeah, I got you.
The other thing that happens,
they
though...
They do that at Snowball Derby.
Right.
Yeah.
The other thing that happens is when you have a double-file restart, the leader has earned the position. Okay? Now, all of a sudden, the guy on the that's been behind him is got essentially the same opportunity as the leader had. And you know as well as I do that when you go off, you come around turn four, and you get ready to get that green flag. If you're up on that flag stand flagging, Billy, and I was running second, and now I'm on the outside, and we got two or three laps to go, you know, I feel like I can keep the guy behind me if I can get around him. So I am going to be giving it everything I got, and if I happen to be the guy on the outside that gets a jump on that leader going to the start-finish line, and it's close, you know what's going to happen. I'm going to go down into turn one. The leader is going to go in there a little bit deeper, and before you know it, you're going to wad up the whole field.
Are they doing this green to checker?
The whole way. The whole race.
Wow. See, we'll do,
we'll do Daytona double file until halfway.
That's right.
And then with this late model series, we do Delaware double file until 10 to go.
Right. And let me ask you this double file. I love it. This gives the opportunity, the leader, the opportunity up to halfway.
I can't see 10 to go.
Yeah, it's the whole race.
Oh, this is crazy.
This gives the leader the opportunity to choose the outside or the inside. How do you feel about that?
I think it's great. Is that an option on asphalt?
I think we should have the option.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think on the asphalt they should give the Delaware double file a shot.
Yeah, I do too.
Especially if you're going to go green the leader has the advantage.
You mean if the bottom line is if the guy was leading when the yellow came out, he should be leading going across the start finish line for the green the next time by.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's why I think if you do the Delaware double file where he's out in front of the pack.
Right. He's alone.
Single in the two.
That's right. That's the true Delaware double file.
I get it. I understand.
We do a little variation of
it. You could be in the middle of the front, those two guys. In other words, you ain't got to be on the bottom right here.
You can be right in
the middle. It's kind of like blocking the two of them.
That's it.
And usually you'll see the guy from the Delaware double file. He'll lead them to the strike.
Oh, sure.
If you're on turn one, they might drive around him on the outside.
Yeah.
But I don't know about this double file. You're right, man. You're going to come to two to go, and somebody's going to be a little anxious, and you're going to wreck some cars here. This is going to be bad.
Well, the guy that starts on the outside.
If they wreck my Daytona Dodge car, I'm going to be mad.
Both of them.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to start. You're going to try to get a jump on the outside. The guy on the inside is going to drive it down in there deeper. The other way around, the guy on the inside is going to take off a little bit early. The guy on the outside is going to go down in there, and he may not hit the leader, but he's going to wad up the group behind him. So I just don't. You know, when we're trying to get car counts up, and it's so cotton-picking expensive
especially the economy.
To build these race cars back, you don't want to be fixing them. That's right.
I'll tell you what, we started this weekend, was supposed to be 10,000 to win at Golden Isles. We only had 30 race cars show up. It rained out Friday. 10,000 to win, 30 cars, that tells you something right there. The economy is horrible.
Yep. Cut it to 60 laps and $5,000.
60 laps and 5,000.
Now, Volusia, we were able to get it in, and in the modifieds, it was racing Jason Davis out of Hawthorne, Florida, drove the 145 Purdue Motorsports effort to a dominating victory. Sean Doherty finally put the hammer time number 00 in the top spot in the Sportsman. Grady Christian, again, in the street stock division. Thunderstocks, we doubled the field. We had three for the last 3 weeks. We had six Saturday night. But it was Scott Moore's with his fourth consecutive victory. Danny Lund, the defending champion in the pure stock division. Those are the four cylinders. He was able to hold off Tony LaPorta and in defense of his championship picked up a win on Saturday
night. How about my girl, Ashley Force Hood?
Yeah, amazing.
Winner.
Amazing. And all smiles in victory lane. What a lovely lady.
I just texted her and told her I love her.
You did? sorry you didn't get to the wedding, right?
Congratulations.
Yeah. Hey, Joe, tell us what's going on at Volusia Speedway Park this weekend.
Four for 44. You bring four adults in there, it's going to cost you $44 to get a free hot dog and a drink. We will have, of course, the late models are back on Saturday night, and it's just going to be wonderful. 7:30, it all kicks off. Grandstands open at 5:30, 15 miles west of I-95 on State Road 40 in Barberville. Four for 44 on Saturday night.
8 o'clock racing at Orlando Speed World in Orlando on Friday night, and 7:30 racing at New Smyrna Speedway this Saturday night. Get there early, though. They've got a lot going on ahead of the time. You get to get out and do a little autograph session and just enjoy the entire experience. And, of course, next Monday night we're going to be back here with Trackside tonight. So, good night.
Dirt World is on RealRacingUSA.com on Wednesday at 7.
Abbott and Lloyd, Wednesday night, Earl Pearson Jr.